Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7, what we'll cover tonight, Lord willing. It says here, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what hast thou in the house. And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." So this is a story about a very poor widow who was a wife of one of the sons of the prophets that were in the prophet schools, and she was hurting in a gigantic way here. Her husband died, leaving her in pain emotionally. You know, that's bad enough. Then her husband died, also leaving her in debt financially. It's bad enough for her to lose her husband, but on top of the emotional loss of her husband was this debt that was about to consume the only two things that she had left. And that's her sons. The creditors were after her to pay. She had no money to pay with. And so the creditors were coming to take her two sons to be bondmen. And that was done during that day. And can you imagine the great burden that she must have been feeling? She was at the end of her resources. And she was at her wit's end, we might say. She needed help in a big way. What could she do? In her pain and her poverty, she did the only thing that she knew to do. She turned to the Lord through the prophet Elisha. When she did, the Lord came through for her in a very big way. And this passage teaches us the glorious truth that the Lord not only knows our problem, but He has a plan to remedy our problem. And I want us to see tonight that just as the Lord took care of this widow, He can take care of us. That's what I want you to get out of it. Passage lets us know that when we reach the end of our resources, there is hope in the Lord. And there's help in the Lord. First of all, we see the nature of her problems there in verse number 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying that, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Now, the word "cried" there indicates that she was, her despair had consumed her. So, understand that despair had consumed her. The word "cried" there means to moan, to weep uncontrollably, even to shriek out in grief. And the word identifies the sound of a broken heart. This woman came to the man of God, Elisha, at the lowest moment of her life, and she's in desperate straits. She doesn't know what to do. And understand that death had already crushed her, the death of her husband. She was married, as I said, to one of the sons of the prophets. These were the men who were in training under Elisha, and mentions here that he actually was a servant of Elisha. That he was under training to be a prophet, a preacher in Israel. And here, her husband, her lover, her friend, her provider, her protector had been taken away from her in death, and she was crushed about it. Understand, thirdly, that debt had chained her. Since her husband is dead, she cannot pay her bills. And as a result, her creditors are coming to take her sons away as slaves so they can work off this debt. Doesn't give us any indication how long they had to work to do that. She has already been deprived of her husband. This would deprive her of her sons as well and leave her solely by herself. She's over her head in debt, and there's no way for her to pay what she owes without the Lord. But I want you to see here, understand that devotion is what coached her. In spite of all her problems, she didn't abandon the Lord, but still held firm to her faith. She didn't push God off. Sadly, a lot of folks, whenever they get have problems come in their life, they push away from God. And that's the absolute worst thing that you can do. And we don't see her here trying to turn to her family or turn to her friends. And she did not try to find someone to loan her more money. You know, you can't borrow your way out of debt. Just, I mean, when we think about this, the Lord provided for her and her sons more than just the debt. He provided for her to be able to have a living a little bit, there for a while at least. We're not told how long that would last. But, and if she had borrowed to try to pay off the debt, she didn't have anything to buy food with. She didn't have anything to support her and her sons with. So, in her despair, she turned to the man of God for help. Elisha was the Lord's representative on earth, and she knew that the Lord was her best hope. And by the way, He always is our best hope. Amen. And she reminded Elisha that her husband did fear the Lord. Now, the reality is that both she and her husband's lives had been devoted to the Lord. Amen right there. I can tell you, my wife is just as much devoted in the ministry that we have had together all these years. Couldn't do it without her. Yeah. You need to thank God for her. But we see that she and her husband's lives have been devoted to the Lord, and in her trouble, she still trusted the Lord, and so she turned to the Lord to supply her need. And in spite of her pain, her problems, and her lack of possibility, she looked to the Lord for the help that she needed. And even though she could not see a way out with her physical eyes or with her human reasoning, and that's usually what we try to do, don't we? We try to look at all of our resources, and we try to look at the, we try to reason it out. But she could not see a way out, and she knew that she couldn't see everything. She couldn't see what God wanted to do. And even though she didn't understand everything she was facing, she still believed that the Lord still cared for her and that He would do something about her situation. So she cried out to Him in faith. Now, we know the odds are in this life, living in a sin-cursed world, in these sin-cursed bodies, at some point, each one of us is going to have to face one or more low times in our life, aren't we? We just are. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, there may come a day when we may reach the end of our rope, so to speak. You could kind of say that she's at the end of her rope, right? Just kind of hanging on. Some of you have already been there, and you can testify to the faithfulness of the Lord as you turn to Him. Some may be going through it right now and are in need of some help. And for others, they may not be there yet, But it will come because pretty much all of us have days of trouble and trial in this life. When we reach the point of that being in our life, the flesh and the devil are going to tell us that the Lord doesn't care. And the Lord doesn't see what you're going through, and the Lord doesn't care. But nothing could be further from the truth. The truth of the matter is the Lord does see. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And we know Hebrews 4:13 in the New Testament says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So the Lord sees everything that we face. Not a single thing is hidden from his view, and he does care. Just as we sang Sunday night at the end of the service, he careth for you. Amen. He does. He cares for you. And he cares for me. He cares for his own. If you belong to the Lord, he cares for you. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And of course, Peter invited us to cast all of our care on the Lord because he said, for he careth for you. The Lord cares more than we know about each and every one of us. And when we're going through the midst of whatever care it might be that we might face. Now, these verses are designed to teach us that our problems, while they may appear to be insurmountable, and our eyes are really just the Lord's opportunities to showcase his grace. Therefore, no matter what we face in this life, we need to learn to turn to the Lord first for help. And because he cares, he's able, and he'll work in our time of need. Now, we see the nature of her problem. Second, I want you to see the nature of her persuasion there in verses 2 through 5. I'll not read them again. But, you know, the Lord could have had Elisha say, you know, you suffered enough. Lord's going to meet your need. Just go home and wait on the Lord to work. I mean, that's the way we like for it to happen, don't we? But the Lord got her involved in the miracle here. We see that the Lord chose to involve her in her own miracle. First, the Lord, through Elisha, erased her faith in her own resources by forcing her to admit what she did not have. Look at verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And so she's got to come clean here. All we got is a pot of oil. Not much. And then the Lord, through Elisha, expanded her faith by teaching her trust, humility, and obedience. And that's what he teaches us too. Amen. He wants us to learn through the troubles and trials that we face. We see how the Lord erased her faith in herself by herself on speaking of her resources. And the Lord erased the widow's faith with those two questions. So what do you need? What do you have? And by those two questions, this woman was made to see the size of her need and the smallness of her own resources. And she needed everything, and she had very little. And she needed much, but she could not possibly meet her own needs. Often the Lord will use trials, heartaches, burdens of life to bring us to a place where we can honestly see our need and our own inability to meet it. I want you to think about it. As long as we think we can handle the problems, are we going to look to the Lord? Why should we? Yeah. He wants to be glorified through what he does in our life. And why would we? Why would we look to the Lord if we could take care of it ourselves, or we had other resources to take care of it with? If we have all the answers, why to turn to Him with our questions? But when we stop and honestly answer those two questions, what do you need and what do you have? We are made to realize that we need more than we'll ever be able to supply by ourselves. Now, the Lord does this to erase our faith and our resources. Not erase our faith in Him. Erase our faith in what we have to take care of it ourselves. As long as we think we can do it without Him, and well, then He's going. There's no reason for Him to come in there. He won't come in there if you're going to try to do it on your own. This clearly is illustrated, and if you remember back to Israel's battle over little Ai in Joshua chapter number 7, Israel had just come off a great victory at Jericho, and they were feeling confident in their own abilities. They failed to look to the Lord for help that they needed, and a little village that should have been an easy victory turned into a humiliating defeat. If they had only sought the Lord first, they could have understood that there was a problem there. When Israel got her priorities in order and put the Lord first, then and only then, they were allowed to enjoy the victory in Joshua 8. Something else here. We see how the Lord expanded her faith in Him. We see He expanded her faith personally. You know, after the Lord erases her faith in herself and her own resources, He began the process of expanding her faith and the power of the Lord to meet her need. And we see He expanded her faith personally there in the latter part of verse number 2. And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." I believe this was the beginning of faith. You know, she couldn't say, "I don't have anything." She looked at what she did have. And we see that this was designed to teach this widow that it may not have looked like much. You know, when he asked her, "What hast thou in the house?" It may not have looked like much, but in reality, she really had what she needed. Okay. Surrendering that to the Lord and letting Him do the work. She couldn't see it, but the Lord had already given her the very thing He would use to meet her need. Sometimes we fail to realize that sometimes the Lord has already given us everything we need to get our need met through faith in Him, and sometimes the Lord meets the need from just our resources found in Him. You know, go to Him in prayer, and all of a sudden the Lord said, "Hey, don't you remember? Don't you remember what you got? You ever done that?" Yeah. We look at our problems, and they look so large. We look at our possessions, and they seem so small. And yet we always fail to factor God into the equation. So He must, He places us in situations where our faith in Him must be expanded. We see He expanded her faith not only personally, but He expanded her faith publicly there in verse number 3. Then He said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Now I want you to get the side of this. Okay? This widow told to go to all her neighbors and borrow as many empty vessels as she can get her hands on. That's a strange command, right? We would think it would be strange. How do you suppose that she explained this to her neighbors? "I need to borrow some pots." "Well, you got company coming in?" Lord's fixing to do something. We're not told, but I want you to consider what a witness it was when the Lord met her need through those borrowed vessels. She sells the oil, okay, it's gone. And she goes and returns, she's going to return those vessels. She just borrowed them, that's all she did. So God used her as a living, breathing sermon to her neighbors and to us. And listen, when the Lord does something for you, it's an opportunity to give Him the glory. And to use that as a witness to Him, we need to let our lives be a billboard advertising the grace, blessing, and power of God to a lost world and to other believers. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Here she was trying to take care of a need, and she did it to the glory of God, I'm sure. And I'm sure she gave God the glory in the end. And we see that he expanded her faith privately also there in verse 4 and 5. So when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee. That's some privacy right there. Upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, all the ones that she had borrowed, not a few, right? And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. What a wonderful thing here. You know, faith moved in that widow's heart. Trust and obey. Amen. That's what it goes back to. She obeyed the Lord and trusted the Lord to do for her what she could not do for herself. And when that day ended, there was a mother, two boys, and some neighbors that learned a valuable lesson. There in the privacy of that home, she learned that God was all-powerful and able to meet every need. Never lose sight of Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that brings us to the nature of her provision. The nature of her provision. The Lord's provision was supernatural. She poured out the oil, filled up a vessel. You know, I don't think she was, I think she took it all the way up to the brim. That's what she was told to do, to fill them. And then boys would bring another vessel, she'd pour, get it full. And note that it was limited only by her ability to believe and receive. I don't know if there could have been more vessels that she could have borrowed, but the Lord filled every vessel that she had, and then when she filled them all, then that oil stayed. And what you see is that not only was the Lord's provision supernatural, but the Lord's provision was sufficient. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, what did she ask the Lord for? To help her to pay the debt. What did the Lord provide? He provided that, plus a whole lot more. You know, she probably hadn't even thought about how they were going to live. Yeah. But the Lord did, and the Lord provided. Ain't God good? I mean, He is. And so that's our study for this evening, and we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next time. Amen. Let's pull out our prayer list, and we'll pray for the needs on the list, and we'll be dismissed with the prayer.